It's that time of the week where we speak to the former Leeds United chairman, Ken Bates, and he joins me on the line now. How are you, KB?
Well, thank you, Sam. And congratulations on the latest radar figures, which we'll talk about a little later.
Thank you very much. Plenty to talk about before we touch on radar. And Leeds United, of course, we are now 48 hours away from the big championship kickoff. Leeds have made a new signing this week in Stuart Dallas from Brentford. There seems to be plenty of optimism around Elland Road ahead of the start of a new season.
Well, there's always optimism at the start of a new season at every club, and Leeds United are no exception. But so much has taken place over this close season. It's almost like a new chapter in the club's history. If you think about it, the results pre-season have been a bit mixed. The win against the young Everton team was a good sign last weekend. But after all the huffing and puffing, gossip and speculation, Saturday is the real thing. Got a tough opener. Burnley, good team, good club, good team, well managed. Just come down from the Premiership. They've sold a couple of their players, but it'll be a good test. In front, I would suspect, of a bumper crowd, because Burnley are neighbours to Leeds, relatively speaking, via the motorway. And so many things at Elland Road that fans haven't seen since May, but I think there'll be a sense of anticipation and hopefully a very good report, match day report, by our boys, and hopefully 3 points before we go to Doncaster. We've got a lot to look forward to.
Yeah, lots to look forward to. The League Cup game, as you said, against Doncaster, Yorkshire Derby, live on Radio Yorkshire next Thursday, Saturday, live from 11 a.m. with Mark Wilson and Greg Abbott for Leeds United live against Burnley. But in terms of the Championship, KB, obviously Burnley coming down from the Premier League, Hull City coming down stronger as well with the parachute payment money, QPR too. Plenty of teams seem to be spending money. Derby, Middlesbrough, for example. It seems a real competitive division again this year.
Yeah, I mean, after a couple of years of relative inactivity at Middlesbrough, looks like Steve Gibson has now got his steam up again and is going for it. Middlesbrough have been a bit disappointing last season or two. Queen's Park Rangers, there's a big question mark there because, of course, they broke the fair play rules, which they are still negotiating with the Football League. In theory, they could be fined £40 million. One of the alternatives, of course, is they wouldn't be allowed back into the league. They have to start in the conference. But it looks to be, must be on the basis of being resolved on some basis, because it's now 48 hours before kick-off. They're not leaving much time to announce the different arrangements. But that QPR, I think, will be an enigma. Interesting to see what happens there. But of course, we've got plenty of other strong clubs in the Championship. So as you say, it could be quite competitive. But we have to hope it doesn't become a two-part Championship. The clubs that are getting £10-11 million a year before the start from the parachute payments, and the others who just come up from League One or are holding their own in a reasonable way in the Championship. What we want to avoid is, as I say, what we want to avoid is an elite within the Championship, as there is to a certain degree an elite in the Premiership. I think the Championship will be far more fun this year than the Premiership. And of course, money itself doesn't necessarily buy success, as many clubs have found out in the past, including Leeds United.
Yeah, it's interesting to see what happens when clubs drop out of the Premier League into the Championship, what the task that faces Burnley, Hull and QPR this year, because it can go either way. You know, we've seen Blackpool come out of the Premier League.
Well, look at Blackpool. When they came down, and last year they got relegated anyway, but the fact that they came down, they couldn't field a team the last pre-season friendly, because the Oyston family had absolutely nothing to the club except take money out of it. And that's why I had those demonstrations, which has resulted in them having a suspended 3-point penalty. So that it just depends on the attitude. Some people, adversity make them stronger. Other people, adversity, they just think, put their head between the knees and cry.
How difficult is it coming down? So you've run football clubs in the past, and Burnley will have come down with quite a low budget in terms of the Premier League. You're coming up with no expectations to go up from the Championship. But the likes of Hull City, who have been there a couple of seasons and have spent money in their second season in the Premier League, third season, and, you know, they've got a higher wage bill. How difficult is it to either go for it or try and consolidate or try and strip your assets down?
Well, it depends. First of all, it depends on how they've treated their players' contracts within the Premiership. If you're a cautious club, you put a clause in the player's contract that the wages automatically reduce if they get relegated. And I know I've done it at clubs, and the immediate player's response is that obviously not very happy with the idea. To which my response is, well, do you think you're going to get relegated? Do you think you're going to get us relegated? No, of course you don't, so therefore, since it's not going to happen, you don't mind putting that cover in. But if you do make the mistake of not taking that precaution, which of course Leeds United did under Risdale, you're saddled with enormous salaries which you simply can't pay. So often leads to administration. Better with hindsight, Leeds United should have been put in administration the day I arrived and had a clean sweep, because the Yorkshire Consortium should have done it as well, but they didn't. And then you start afresh. Some clubs struggle for years. Other clubs do very well. It just depends how you work it. I mean, 1988, Chelsea got relegated on goal difference. And in 1989, the following year, came back and won by 15 points. Basically, because they managed to keep the team together and buy two good ones in addition. One of whom they kept, of course, was Tony DiRigo. I remember him coming into me and asking for a transfer, and I refused it. And he said, well, playing in the old League One, as it was in those days, second division, those days, so it won't do my English prospects much good. I said, well, playing in the reserves will do me even less. I said, sorry, Tony, you took us down. You helped to take us down. You're going to help to take us up. And he did. He did a very good job. He walked out and came to Leeds, but we paid $475,000 for him. We got $1.65 million, so it was a win-win eventually after a bad season. But everything happened. Some clubs inspired to get up. Some clubs don't. Remember, before the war, Sheffield Wednesday used to know as the Yo-Yo Club, because they got promoted, relegated, alternative seasons for most of the 30s. These things change. So that's what makes football so exciting and so interesting. As I said earlier, in the Championship it can be far more fun than the Premiership.
Yeah, just in terms of that example you are there with Tony DiRigo, in terms of these days and the shift of player power, as it were, is it a dilemma for managers and chairmen these days when they do come down that players know they can push for that move and clubs face, you know, losing their better players that will help get them back up?
Well, a lot of it depends upon the agents. I mean, there are certain agents that I would not deal with. I wouldn't have near the club. Other decent agents, they obviously want to do well for their want to do well for their clients, but also are fair and not unscrupulous. And there are one or two agents that we had a lead that were a nightmare. I suppose I better not name them. But you simply don't deal with them in the future. And then, of course, they finish up not getting good players because the clubs won't deal with the agents, so therefore the players know they won't get a good deal. Bit tricky. Testy. Yeah. You never be too greedy because it always rebounds. But the good news, of course, at Leeds is that I gather that the club have reassured people that the fears of the academy being downgraded and money skimped on it is would not happen. Lots of fears when Lucy Ward and Neil Redfern went, and previously Grim Williams has gone as well. But we'll have to see. Certainly got a few good young players in the first team at the moment. What we've got to hope and make sure is that they continue that conveyor belt of producing youngsters who obviously want to play for Leeds. Yorkshire boys want to play for their local big club. And some of them move on to a bigger stage. Some of them stay. Enough of them stay. Leeds United hope to get promotion with a homegrown team. And a leavening of talented foreigners, for a better word. By foreigners, I mean, of course, anybody who doesn't live in the county of Yorkshire.
Just
another thing I see we're noticing at Ellen Road is that where the old museum space was the space was allocated for the museum, they've now been turned into offices, and that a legal firm is now renting it. Well, that's, on first step, a good idea because it brings money in to the club on another match day. The only thing that worries me, I see in the Yorkshire Evening Post today. Ugh, shouldn't have plugged them, should I? is it's a firm called Quindles. I'm wondering if the same Quindle, which is reported in the Times, is being investigated by the Ford Office. We won't know the details of that for some time. So all I can say is to Adam Pearson, if it is back to the same Quindle, hope you're making sure you're getting your head right.
Yeah, two interesting stories in the paper today. You mentioned the academy, of course. Adam Pearson saying that Leeds does have one of the best budgets in the Championship and will retain its Category 2 status. You mentioned Neil and Lucy. Is this a real pivotal time in terms of the academy now going forward, the fact that it has lost two real key members of staff who have become ingrained in that ethos of bringing through these young players into the first team. But there is some good news that Adam Pearson has given it the financial backing. But in terms of staffing, do you feel it is a real kind of interesting period now for the academy and the work going forward?
Well, the thing is, it has been left a bit late, hasn't it? I mean, the academy is 12-month of the year scenarios. And I think if they decided that they decided to get rid of the Lucy and Neil partnership, and perhaps they should have done it earlier and more decisively. But we don't know who's running it now. And that would be because you can throw as much money at the academy as you like. But unless you've got the right attitude and right leadership qualities at the academy, money won't do very much for you. So let's hope that they've made a good choice, whoever has succeeded Lucy and Neil. The thing about, when we're talking back to the offices, of course, is that what isn't known is that when Suzanne and I win our last throws as me being chairman, we went to the Football League annual conference in the Algarve in spring 1913. Of course, Sean Harvey was there then. But the Arabs hadn't done anything about the museum, and clearly they hadn't got any money, as was painfully obvious by then. And because the takeover took so long, in 2012, then we never got round to doing the museum because it was the project was all capital expenditure was frozen. But we'd done an awful lot of preparatory work on it. We got that lovely girl from the Bolton Armouries to come over. She was a Leeds fan. And she worked tirelessly to get all the memorabilia and pots and pans, everything we had, cleaned, labelled, and properly bagged, ready for fitting out the museum. And while we're at the conference, Suzanne and I made an offer that we personally would fund the fitting out of the museum at our personal cost. We then put in a team to run it, and all the profits would go to the Leeds United Foundation, which is, as we know, an extension, much bigger version of the old community trust that clubs used to have, which was made Leeds one of the richest foundations in the country, which could have done a great deal of work in the field of disadvantaged kids and poor people and promoting opportunities. And because we had to get it right, we got Sean to draft a letter on his computer to make a proposal to the new owners. And the idea, the benefits have been threefold for Leeds. First of all, Leeds is on the road, on the motorway route to Scotland, where an awful lot of overseas tourists, particularly the Asians, come up to go stop off at York on their way to Edinburgh. And they could, of course, stopped off at Leeds on the way to York, on the way to Edinburgh. And I estimated we should have several hundred thousand visitors a year, obviously English as well as overseas. But I've been looking at the tourist market because Leeds has a strong foreign following. And as I say, I think we'd have several hundred thousand visitors. Now, the whole thing, the package is, they come in and they do look at the museum, combine it maybe with a ground tour. Then we feed them on one of our, either in Billy's Bar or Howard's or one of our many function rooms. And then they go to the club shop. So the average spend ahead, and we buy a shirt, you want 30, 40 pounds. But the average tourist spend ahead must be something in excess of 100 pounds when you've counted all those items in. Just think how much more money that would have put into the coffers of the Leeds United Commercial Department and boosted our spending power in the transfer market considerably. So it was a great idea. And as I say myself, not bad putting something back into the club on top of the millions that have been put in the club. You know the response? We sent the letter to GFH and didn't even get an acknowledgement. Letter and reply. So all those people who are dead keen on having GFH take over the club must be hiding very low now, or pretending it was somebody else. Great pity. But there you are. Opportunity lost, I'm sure. Massimo will think of some alternative. But of course, while we're talking about improvements to the ground, Billy's Bar has been upgraded, and that's a good sign. Make it more attractive. Again, essentially on non-match days, because it'll all be reformed, I say. But it's making a nice social centre, this part of Leeds. It's great, something for the fans and something for the locals. So that's another positive thing. Looking good.
Obviously, the legal firm are in that space now where you hope to have that museum. But do you think one day that the club might look at that again and implement this kind of idea? Because Elland Road and your plans for the stadium going forward, and as you mentioned, tourism and getting more footfall on not match days, it seems like the club are missing out. Do you think one day maybe back in the Premier League they will reconsider? Or should reconsider?
The thing is, you have to plan for the Premier League before you get in it. Mm. Remember the classic story with Ipswich Town years ago, and Bobby Robson was the manager, and the lovely brothers, who owned it, whose name escaped me for the moment, were running it like a family fiefdom. And they won promotion and immediately announced they're going to build a new stand. And the trouble is, by the time they build a new stand, they've been relegated. So fans don't always understand this. You have to plan ahead. You can always build a team. It takes a longer time to build a club. And if you look at it, where the museum was going to be sited, it was... The architect did a very good job. It was cleverly thought out. People could either go to the museum on match days because it insulated from the rest of the ground. But the problem is that if you put the museum somewhere else, say one of the function rooms, it gets very much more complicated in trying to organise access. We wouldn't be able to open it on match days, but on access, you have to get into the main stadium to get to the museum, and couldn't create the same atmosphere. Give you some idea. Obviously, I've still got contacts down south, and Chelsea have a big museum, a visitor attraction, and apart from bars and pubs and restaurants and things. They have 2 million people a year visiting Stamford Bridge on non-match days. Now, forget that it's Chelsea, it could be anybody. 2 million people a year. Okay, that's there in London, the capital. But their new plans they've announced for the ground, their new ground, they anticipate 4 million people a year. So when you're thinking, I was saying, maybe £100 a head spend, they're enormous sums. And the profit margin is very high as well. So just think what opportunities there is in Leeds with its history, with its reputation, and its proximity to the M1. Great opportunity. Well, it could still happen because, of course, we've got planning permission to build two hotels, a shopping mall, a new mega store down towards the north end of the ground. And there's plenty of land there, so it could still happen. But over to you, Massimo, on that one. But I suspect in the immediate future, he's got more pressing matters on his mind. But now that is a project, thinking about it as we're talking, or as I'm talking, that is a project that could be taken up by the supporters. The Supporters Club. LUST, Leeds United Supporters Trust. And the new organisation, Leeds Fans LLP. After all, with the membership at Leeds, the support at Leeds, you're only talking a few hundred per head average. And of course, that will be supplemented by bigger hitters, such as Paul Sykes, and other rich men around Yorkshire who profess to support Leeds United. They've missed out on investing in Leeds in the past. This is an interesting alternative way of doing it. So how about it, all you box holders, executive season ticket holders? Here's a challenge. I can't even remember the name of the man I was going to mention. I can't think about it. But the horsey boy, he's got a few bob now. his share price has more than doubled in the last year. Well done, him. Put a little bit back into your hometown. There's a thought. Anyway, in your modest way, Sam, Radio Yorkshire are making good progress as well.
Yes.
Tell us about the latest radar figures just come out.
Yeah, the latest radar for quarter two of this year, which takes in the period from April until the end of June. More people than ever before listening to Radio Yorkshire. The hours are up. People are staying with us longer here on Radio Yorkshire. The listening figures...
Yeah, interrupting, despite the fact, of course, we haven't had the attraction of League United commentaries.
Yes, yes.
So
no.
That makes it a particularly good performance.
Yeah, during the off-season of Leeds United, of course, you know, a big selling point for the station and the thousands that listen on a Saturday or Tuesday night when Leeds United are playing to Mark Wilson's commentary. So, yeah, good performance from the Radio Yorkshire team. Plenty of ups across the station. Good Morning Yorkshire with Darren Harper. More people listening to that show than ever before. David Bolton, fantastic show on a Sunday morning. Classic hit Sunday, the only way to wake up.
Most of your competitors are showing slight falls.
Yeah, if you look across Yorkshire, you know, there are falls, you know, all the way across. You know, real interesting market at the moment, and you know, Radio Yorkshire being DAB only and online, of course, but in terms of the transmission, all of our competitors on FM as well. So, just going with the DAB and online, you know, we're right up alongside them, and you know, looking to overtake some of these rivals that have been going many years and are established in the market. So, terrific performance from the team, and we look forward to continuing to grow that listenership, and thank you very much to everyone who listens and contributes week in, week out to all of our shows on Radio Yorkshire. And of course, Leeds United Live will be back from 11 a.m. This Saturday, so even more reason to listen to Radio Yorkshire.
Yes, Simon. And what you should also mention and keep plugging is the alternative ways you can listen to Radio Yorkshire, apart from a digital radio. You can listen to it on your mobile phone. You can listen to it on your computer, on your iPad. You're the technical one, I'm not. Can you tell me about that as well?
Yeah, you can get on...
Because the internet, this is the future.
You can get on radioyorkshire.co.uk and you can listen and watch the station from that point. You click on the Listen Live button to get the straight radio feed. But if you're sat at home, maybe the wife's watching Coronation Street and you're not that bothered, you can click on the Watch Live section and you can see what's going on in the studio. Last night for Wednesday Night Live, we had Tom Kerwin, Eddie Gray, the Leeds United legend, and a couple of fans all debating ahead of the new season. You know, much prefer to watch that than Coronation Street and Emmerdale on the Box. So yeah, you can watch and listen via radioyorkshire.co.uk. You can check out all the best bits at youtube.com/radioyorkshire. Our Audio Boom channel as well for Listen Again, which is audioboom.com/radioyorkshire. Or if you want to listen on the move, you can listen, of course, on your mobile phone via the website radioyorkshire.co.uk, but also via the TuneIn Radio app, which is available to download at your app store, whether you are on an iPhone or iPad or an Android device. You can go and get that app and you can listen and follow Radio Yorkshire on there as well, and keep up to date with all of the shows here at the station. So plenty of ways to listen and watch even in this day and age.
Sam, two things. First of all, we'll trial TV Yorkshire, which even as we speak, people are planning launch in the autumn. And finally, if you don't want to listen to Radio Yorkshire and you really want the live thing, well, you can take a competition for 12 lucky people every home game, Leeds United at Elland Road. You can be our guest for the game with a meal in luxury, comfortable surroundings. Be a great day out. I'll leave you to give the details of how to compete.
Yeah, we'll start with TV Yorkshire. That's a new visual channel coming to the station in the autumn. Our TV studios will be pretty much done and dusted by tomorrow. The last bit of work going in. So we are.
I think the dusting's important.
we are pretty much ready to go and start testing some of the great ideas that all the team have had. So watch out for that one, and watch out on our YouTube channel for some of the test programs that we'll be putting out, so you can have a look at what you could be seeing regularly come the autumn. And of course, our fantastic RY Box 44 competition. The winners for Burnley, by the time you're listening to this interview, will have been announced. So congratulations to everyone who entered on Twitter for that one. But we do have two other competitions running as well. The first being the next home game for Leeds United, which is, of course, a Yorkshire derby against Sheffield Wednesday. That takes place on Saturday, the 22nd of August. It's another early kickoff at Elland Road, and you could be winning your way to exquisite three-course dining, a complimentary match day programme, and of course those luxurious leather padded seats from the balcony of Box 44. All you have to do to win is answer a very simple question, and that is: Sheffield Wednesday last beat Leeds United at Hillsborough in January 2014. What was the score on that occasion? Was it A, 6-0, B, 2-1, or C, 1-0. To enter, you text YORKS, YORKS, and your answer, A, B, or C, to 84383. Text cost £1 plus your standard message rate. You text YORKS, A, 6-0, B, 2-1, or C, 1-0, to 84383. To answer the question, Sheffield Wednesday last beat Leeds United at Hillsborough in January 2014. What was the score? A, 6-0, B, 2-1, C, 1-0. Text YORKS to 84383. And then we have another competition running for the game against Brentford, which actually takes place on the 12th of September. It's a Saturday, and it's Leeds United's first Saturday 3 o'clock kickoff of the season on the 12th of September. It's the same prize, the exquisite three-course meal, your leather padded seats, your matchday programme, and to enter, all you have to do is answer this question: which Leeds United head coach has also been manager at Brentford FC? Was it A, Darko Milanic, B, Uwe Rosler, or C, Neil Redfern? To enter this one, slightly different, you have to text DAB to, and your answer, A, B, or C, to 84383. So there's the same text number, but your text is slightly different. Text DAB and then your answer to the question: which Leeds United head coach has been the manager at Brentford FC? A, Darko Milanic, B, Uwe Rosler, or C, Neil Redfern? If you want to get all the details of the competition, you head to radioyorkshire.co.uk/win, and you'll be able to see both of those competitions on our win page. You'll be able to get the question again in case you need to confer or phone a friend or whatever you need to do, and get, of course, those correct text details to enter the competition. So, KB, the Burnley winners have been announced, and we have two more competitions running: a Yorkshire derby against Sheffield Wednesday, and the first Saturday 3 o'clock kickoff of the season against Brentford on the 12th of September.
Well done, Sam. Do you make that up, or are you reading from a script?
It's all in the head.
Well, congratulations. What was that last point you made? Don't worry about it, any joke. All right.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for your time, and let's hope Leeds United can get off to a good start against Burnley at the weekend.
I agree. Marching on together.